Our first scripture lesson today is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 111. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the company of the upright, in the congregation. Here are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of honor and majesty is the Lord's work, and the Lord's righteousness endures forever. God has gained renown by the Lord's wonderful deeds. The Lord is gracious and merciful. God provides food for those who fear the Lord. The Lord is ever mindful of the Lord's covenant. God has shown the Lord's people the power of the Lord's works and giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of the Lord's hands are faithful and just. All the Lord's precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. God sent redemption to the Lord's people. God has commanded the Lord's covenant forever. Holy and awesome is the Lord's name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. The Lord's praise endures forever. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
Morning sermon reading comes to us from Mark's Gospel. I'll be reading from the very first chapter, beginning with verse 21 and reading through verse 28. Listen now for God's word to and for us. The disciples and Jesus went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at Jesus' teaching, for Jesus taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then, in their synagogue, a man with an unclean spirit came and cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of the man. They all were amazed, and they kept asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once, Jesus' fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God. I invite you to pray with me. Lord, we give you thanks for the supreme gift of your holy word that has something to say to us by the power of your Holy Spirit every time that it is read and every time it is proclaimed, in word or in music or in artistic expression. We are grateful to be your children, and we thank you that you, in Jesus, you have given us the best teacher we will ever have. Open us now, open our hearts and our minds so that we can hear what you would say to us today, both as individuals made in your image and also as your church. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Screen players skillfully create them. They are the stuff on which sequels are built. Novelists know how important they are for future book sales. Both take their readers and their patrons on journeys ending in places that leave us hungering for more. Inquiring minds want to know what is going to happen next. And they want us to know, too, so that we will tune in for next week's episode, the season premiere, or purchase the sequel. If you haven't already guessed, I'm talking about cliffhangers. Some of us love them, while some of us love to hate them. This morning's gospel reading is a cliffhanger. We experience a cliffhanger in it, too. Mark has masterfully captivated our attention by painting a picture that just builds and builds and gives us increasing anticipation. If we were to go back and look at the very beginning of chapter 1, we would be reminded that the first thing that Mark does is he introduces us to the wild and woolly prophet John the Baptist, who is baptizing in the wilderness. He's the one who eats locusts and wears the stuff that prophets wear. We meet him first, and then next, Jesus, he's the one who says, the one that is coming after is more powerful than I. So we're wondering who this one might be. Then Jesus appears on the scene and he is baptized. And then we are told that the heavens open up and the heavenly host declares, you are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. At that point, Jesus doesn't get to enjoy the moment very long. He is hurled out into the wilderness where he was tempted and triumphed over Satan. And in last week's reading, if you were here, we read about Jesus' call to the original four disciples. So when we learn in today's reading that Jesus is entering into the synagogue in Capernaum and is about to deliver his first sermon, we're all ears. What makes the content of Jesus' message even more intriguing is the fact that Mark tells us that those who heard Jesus that day were astounded at Jesus' teaching because he taught as one with authority and not like the scribes. The scribes, you see, relied on tradition, the traditional interpretation of the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. But Jesus, who is the living word, was free to teach God's will. It's little wonder that those who heard Jesus thought that he was a much greater teacher than the scribes. Now, that's saying a lot because the scribes were the resident experts that knew everything that there was to know about the law. I don't know about you, but at this point in Mark's narrative, I'm on the edge of my seat or standing on tiptoes behind my pulpit. But just when we think that Mark is about to tell us what Jesus has said, suddenly Mark makes a pivot and relays a seemingly random story about an exorcism. And before we know what's happening, a man with an unclean spirit burst into the synagogue and said, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." What is going on here? Did Mark take a break from dictating to the scribe and lose his place and forget what he was talking about in the first place? And where were the ushers, I ask you, who let this shouting lunatic into the synagogue? Will someone please take him outside? We want to hear Jesus' sermon. We want to learn from this teacher who has a new teaching and is doing more than regurgitating traditional interpretations like the scribes. Most of us know only too well the importance of teachers in our lives. I can recall at least three who left a positive imprint in my life. Miss Bennett was my favorite teacher in elementary school. She would let me wash the blackboard after school, and I remember on the final day of school, she even asked me to stay after and help her clean up her classroom. That's a big deal when you're 7 years old. She gave me a ride home, and I remember something that she told me that has always stuck with me. She said, "Dawn, you are one of the students that I can depend on." Those words have stayed with me until this day. I also remember my sixth grade English teacher, Mrs. Signorelli. She wasn't quite 5 feet tall, and I remember her teaching us our helping verbs and standing in front of the class, and we all had a chant, "Am, is, are, was, were, be, been," over and over. But what I remember most is what she wrote in my autograph book at the end of the year. I don't know if kids still do that and have autograph books, but she wrote, "Dear Dawn, I expect to see you playing the lead in the senior play one day." You see, I had had the lead in the sixth grade play, And so her words had given me encouragement and a picture of myself and the possibilities that I never had before. And then there was my ninth grade American history teacher, Mr. Stoll. He had a ruddy complexion, red hair, a mustache with handlebars. He looked more like a Viking than like a history teacher. I remember earlier this week when I heard some criticism of our government of what Mr. Stoll had taught us. He said, "The Constitution is only as good as those who practice it. Little people can render the noble Constitution trivial." Mr. Stoll was also my track coach. The first time I ran a 220 relay and he clicked his stopwatch, he looked at me and said, "Not bad for a girl." And my track career was launched. Now, when you think about it, that's all rather amazing because I'm in the last third of my life, and that was years and years ago, and I can still remember what those teachers and many other teachers who have been influential in my life said to me. They taught me, and they are still influencing me. As public teachers, they weren't paid a whole lot, and you probably never heard of their names before, but consider their power. After all, what is power except the ability to change other people's lives for the good? Each of them gave me a vision of myself that challenged me to grow into a person that was larger than the person that I was at the time. Through Jesus' authority, Jesus, the Word made flesh, the teacher with a capital T of all teachers, does the same for us and so much more. His authority, grounded in love, holds the entire cosmos together. Through Jesus, we receive fullness of life. Through his word and the teachings of the Holy Spirit, we grow up into the people that God created us to be. Did you know that Mark's gospel refers to Jesus as being the teacher more than any of the other gospels? Later in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus says that Jesus, the teacher, commanded the waves of the sea to be silent, and the waves obeyed, raised a little girl from the dead, fed thousands of people with just 5 loaves and 2 fish, and cured a man of a disease with just one touch, epilepsy. Jesus has authority over the natural and the supernatural world. In his teaching for us today, we have read an object lesson. When that outsider came in and interrupted that worship service, he didn't ignore the man. He didn't have the usher throw him out. Jesus treated him as one who belonged and healed him. Which one of us has never been infected by an unclean spirit? We might not call it that, but someone said that behind every face there is a drama taking place. And if that is right, that would mean that everyone here this morning, those who are here in person and those who are here online, are struggling with something. Sometimes the struggles that we have are evident, just like that man that came in and burst into the synagogue that day, but most of the time we keep them hidden and suppressed. They're not as visible. The struggles each of us carry for ourselves can take many forms. Sometimes they have to do with things that we regret, things that we're ashamed of, guilt or anger or rage or fear or bitterness or selfishness, or grief, just to name a few. Sometimes we carry the struggles of those we love. Perhaps a family member or a friend close to you is struggling with health issues or addiction or depression. Perhaps you are one of those whose rent has gone up so high you cannot afford to live in your home anymore or put food on the table. Unlike the man with the unclean spirit, most of us are pretty good at suppressing and hiding our struggles. But Jesus knows what we struggle with. Jesus knows what a mess we've made of our home, the earth, and how we struggle, some of us, to help preserve its beauty and wonders for generations to come. Jesus knows how polarized we are as a nation and around the globe, and wants to help us find a way that we might be one. Jesus knows and sees those caught in the war-torn places around the world where they are hungry, suffering, and grieving the loss of many times their family members and loved ones. And Jesus promises the coming day of peace. Jesus knows and sees the injustice of racism that still exists in our own time and place, and is at work in the world, creating through you and through me a world where the image of God is honored in all people. When Jesus confronted the man who walked into the synagogue that day, he commanded the voice with authority, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing the man and crying with a loud voice, came out. Wholeness and healing is what Jesus' teaching is all about. God's word is active and alive and has authority over the natural and the supernatural world. Jesus offers healing and grace for whatever struggles we are facing. When we allow his living word and teachings to take up residence in our lives, to have authority over our actions, to be rooted and grounded in our souls, we, like the man with the unclean spirit, open ourselves to God's authority. Through Jesus' teachings, we receive healing by receiving the vision of ourselves as God intended us to be. It's true, Mark did not really tell us what Jesus taught. Instead, he told us that Jesus taught with authority. Authority over the spirits that torment people, authority over life and death, authority over good and evil. His authority, his power is so great, the demons the man was living with cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us?" For the demons, that is, we sometimes know them as the powers and the principalities or the power of darkness, it was the beginning of the end. They knew that their days were numbered. Jesus' ministry on earth marked the long-awaited for coming of God's rule that will bind all forces of evil. We don't need to know the words of Jesus' sermon that day because we've seen them enacted. Jesus lovingly welcomes us as we are with all of our struggles and brokenness and makes us whole in God's perfect time. In Jesus' birth, life, resurrection, death, resurrection, and ascension, we have been given a sequel to the end of things. Jesus said, "I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly." We don't have to wait to know how things will turn out. For as God's word says, they will hunger and thirst no more, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. Jesus can tame the chaos in your and our world. Jesus can feed our hunger. Come be taught by the Holy Spirit who lives inside each of us, never leaves us, and will lead us into all truth. Do not be afraid, for as Julian of Norwich put it, all will be well, and all manner of things will be well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and all of God's people said, Amen. Leave today, go out into the world in peace, have courage, return no one evil for evil, strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, help the suffering, rejoicing in the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit, who never leaves us, who always keeps teaching us and is right beside us, closer than our very breath. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord be kind and gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Alleluia, and all of God's people said, Amen.